Hey, good morning, everybody. Pastor Justin Krupski outside of my house. I want to thank you for joining us for worship this morning online. I am excited. Many of you have heard that we were able to pivot what we've been doing, worshiping online, for moving our Wednesday more liturgical and hymn-based blended service to this morning at 8 o'clock. And so that's what's going to be happening. We're going to continue to do a midweek Bible study called Press On. And so if you missed that, check out our website, go to our YouTube page. You can join us with our Philippians Bible study. It will be every Wednesday. And also, we're going to continue with our 9:45 blended, more modern service. And certainly none of our worship styles are truly reflective of our worship styles at Trinity, but all of what we're doing online definitely reflects our faith as we're continuing to use the scriptures to guide us and we're proclaiming the gospel message. And so we are excited, though, that we're going to be able to offer this great liturgical hymn-based service for you, a little bit of a blended service. Carla, we finally got her set up to lead us in music, and so she's going to be able to do that. We're just super thankful that she's able to do this now. And we're also going to have another singer, Michael Carr, who's going to lead us in a lot of our hymns today. I just want to let you know before we begin our worship time, we are looking forward to get back in the sanctuary, hopefully sooner than later. Hopefully we'll be able to record from the sanctuary in a couple weeks and definitely get all in there together soon, because I know we miss it, but certainly we all know, right, worship is not about a space, and certainly a space gives us comfort, but it's about the one who we are worshiping, and church is not a building, right, it's a people, and we are the people of God. And this morning, once again, right, Jesus is knocking on the door of our home. He's knocking on my door, saying, are you going to let me in? And we are going to let him in from our homes to your homes, and so we're super excited. There'll be some still shots from the sanctuary during the hymns as we're singing those, and so we'll get some comfort that way. And in a moment, I'm going to go change into my clerical for the message time. Pastor Chris will be leading us too. And we're just excited that you've chosen to be with us. If you're part of Trinity, I want to let you know that if you're not getting the e-news, please reach out to the church office. Every Friday, we're sending the e-news out. A lot of opportunities at Trinity still dig into our faith, information, communication, the prayers of the people. Wednesday, we send out another email. If you're not getting that, contact the church office. Pastor Chad is sending text message devotions. There's a lot of opportunities at Trinity. So if you're not getting that stuff, please do not hesitate to reach out to the church office. We're still answering the phone. We still want to be there for you. And so with that said, don't forget we can replay these. You can share these links, YouTube, go to our website. With that said, my prayer is that God is going to meet you where you are as we begin our time. So Michael Carr is going to lead us in this great hymn of our faith. Carla is going to play it for us. My hope is built on nothing less. So let's begin our worship time this morning.
Pastor Chris Troxell, thank you so much for joining us this morning. This is a moment where God meets you with the Spirit and His Word. We just got done singing that hymn, Where Our Hope Is Found. It's found only in God, only in Jesus, and His Word that comes to you through His Spirit right now. And so in that name, In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's share the psalm of the day. The words will be printed at the bottom of your screen. And so we start with these words from Psalm 18. I love you, O Lord, my strength. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For who is God but the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. As God brings us into His presence with His Word and His Spirit, He shows us who He is. He reveals to us His nature, His holiness, His goodness. And in light of all that, we see that we are not holy. Some of the times, maybe a lot of the times, we are not good. God, in His graciousness, gives us a way to approach Him still. And so we can call sin our sin what it is and receive something else from God. And so we confess our sins together. I'll say some words. I invite you at the end of each phrase to say, we confess to you, O Lord. Lord of all creation, whose ways are beyond human understanding. We come to you today with sins to confess, our thinking and acting like we know more than you. Our sometimes wavering faith in your goodness to us. Our being paralyzed by fear when the storms of this life rage. All of our sins, those of which we are aware, and those known only to you. Hear these words. Almighty God, in His mercy, has sent His Son to die and rise for you. And for His sake, He forgives you all your sins. And in the stead and at the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray together. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, because of your tender love toward us sinners, you have given us your Son, that believing in Him we might have everlasting life. Continue to grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may remain steadfast in this faith to the end, and finally come to life everlasting through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In light of God's goodness and His mercy, He comes to us. He keeps coming to us, wave after wave of mercy and grace. And one of those ways is through His Word to us. And for our first word from God today, we turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Our Old Testament reading today is from Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. And here Isaiah has a vision of the Lord, and he realizes, just like we confess that we are unclean, that we're sinful, Isaiah realizes this, surrounded by the holiness of God, and God meets him right where he is and addresses his sin. Let's hear the words from Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, and each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. and the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. And I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. This is the word of the Lord. You hear those words of the angels, the seraphim, as they flew. They were one calling out to another, holy, holy, holy. Those words, sanctus, 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 written on the front of our sanctuary, right underneath the cross, on the side of the cross a little bit there. Those words of the angels are calling out to us too as we see them. And maybe we're not gathered there now, but you can get a glimpse of the sanctuary, or you can grab a picture of it, or you have a picture of it in your mind, and you hear those words that are, or you see those words that are written up there for you as a reminder of who God is and who he is for you. He's not a holy God that's turned against you. He's a God in his holiness that is for you. And so we turn to the words from 2 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. And we hear the blessing of God. As we heard the blessing of God in Isaiah, we hear a blessing from God through the words of Paul to encourage the people in Corinth. And these words are also something we can take to encourage ourselves. We can speak to one another. These words will probably sound familiar if you've been to the end of any of our worship services. Paul writes this in verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is the word of the Lord. And now we turn to our gospel reading. What a blessing that is for us today, to hear the words of Jesus. And we hear them today from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he said to his disciples, who do the people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he says to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom and the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. It's an interesting move of Jesus. Before he goes to the cross, before he comes out of the empty tomb, he didn't want people proclaiming who he was. He wanted them to repent, for the kingdom of heaven was near, but he didn't want them necessarily knowing that he was the Christ. It was an odd move. But we no longer live under that. We live in the reality of Jesus' death and resurrection. We live in the reality of God coming to us and making his word known to us. And so in this moment, we turn our hearts toward God as the choir leads us in an anthem. He is the rock. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. That rock that Peter confessed, Jesus says those words, on this rock I will build my church. He means Peter's confession, the confession we share, the confession we're hearing about and celebrating today. So let's hear from the choir now.
beautiful song from our choir that's been recorded from a while ago, and I can't wait to get back into the sanctuary and be able to hear our amazing choir lead us in great songs of our faith again. But he is the rock. He is our rock. This is the second week of our sermon series called Anchored. If you missed last week, check it out. Anchored based on Hebrews chapter 6, verse 14, where it says, "We have this hope as an anchor, as a rock for the soul, firm and secure. That is Jesus, our crucified and resurrected Savior. Jesus," let's bow our heads as we begin this message time. Gracious Father, I pray the prayer that's been prayed for hundreds of years, thousands of years, Lord, based on Psalm 19. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, may they be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we are in this sermon series called Anchored, this is the second week, and I want to let you know it's a six-week sermon series, and it's actually based on the six chief parts of our faith. And so last week, if you were with us, we talked about being anchored in freedom. We talked about the Ten Commandments. Right, this week, we're talking about being anchored in focus. Right, and as we think about being anchored in focus, right, if you've ever been in a storm in a boat and you've been anchored, or even in the wind and waves, you always anchor off the front of the boat. Right? The boat is always facing the waves and the wind. If you anchor off the back, that's what's going to happen. Right? If you have the wrong focus, right? It's got to be to the front. Right? You're going to sink. Right? But today we're talking about our focus and how our focus truly gives us life. And this anchor, Jesus, right, gave us focus. And there's true focus when we embrace this great teaching of our faith, right? The Apostles' Creed. And the thing about the Apostles' Creed, I'm reminded of our Old Testament reading, right? King Uzziah, an amazing king that served God's children, that pointed them to God Almighty. And all of a sudden he died about 740 BC, and that was a time of turmoil. There was a pandemic there for the nation of Israel, the children of God, when King Uzziah died. And the question was, what was their focus? What was Isaiah's focus? And what was Isaiah going to lead the children of God into again? And so Isaiah 6, we heard Pastor Chris read it. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I focused in on the Lord." Right? What an amazing truth that's being passed down to us. And certainly Apostles' Creed enables us to focus in on who our God is. And I love our sanctuary. I love the rarities. Right? What does it say? I wish I could have brought the rarities right here for you on my palette wall. Right? But sanctus, sanctus, sanctus. Holy, holy, holy. Right? Certainly we can say it's a Trinitarian move from God and Isaiah as he saw the holiness of God. But what we know is that was a superlative. Right? Three times God. You are just God, God, God. Right? And we get to see that in our sanctuary. We get to see the beauty of the cross. Or we get to see the beauty of the hand, right, of the Father. And we get to see the beauty of the dove, the Spirit of God. But that's truly what the Apostles' Creed points us into. And so as we look at the Apostles' Creed and see how that gives us life, how this anchors us into our faith, many of us know the Creed is really in three parts, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I love our reading from the New Testament, 2 Corinthians, right? "May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God," right, which is the Father, right, "and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit." And so what I want to do today is break this down, break our focus down, because the truth of what we know from our faith and what science tells us, what we believe makes us who we are. What we focus in on, what we view, right, penetrates us in a way to where it makes us who we are, determines our actions. Right? And so the statement of faith is huge for so many reasons. But as I think about our Father, right, I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. Right? Jesus showed us the Father. In fact, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." 2 Corinthians, right? The love of God, the love of the Father. Right? We have a God who's fighting for us, a Father that's fighting for us, an all-powerful Father, an all-knowing Father, an ever-present Father. He's always with us. Right? This is what we are anchored into. This is what Jesus showed us. And he is a creator. He created us for a purpose. For a purpose. And that tells me when I believe that, when I focus in on that truth, right, is that I am a son of God. You are a daughter and a son of the Most High God. And he is a perfect Father. Take a deep breath. Right, I'm not a perfect father. I don't have a perfect father. But we all have a perfect father. That is our heavenly father, and Jesus showed us that. And I believe that. And that makes me a confident son of the Most High God. He is with me always, and I am loved by him. I am his son. Right? We have the love of God, the love of our Father. In the second part of the creed, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell and then rose again on the third day and ascended into heaven, where now he sits at the right hand of God the Father, waiting to judge the living and the dead. I believe in Jesus, this resurrected Jesus. I love our gospel reading. Right? Jesus takes his disciples to Caesarea Philippi, right? A place where he had no business taking these young men, but he does. And he says, who do you guys say that I am? Right? So who do you say that Jesus is? I don't know where you are in your faith. Right? Who do you say that he is? Right? Peter, one of the disciples, responds, Jesus, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Right? And then Jesus talks about how that statement of faith, right, is the anchor. Right? And that the church is going to keep moving forward. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. So the church is going to attack. Right? Certainly good leadership, certainly in places like Caesarea Philippi. Right? In the darkness, the church is going to shine. But certainly faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus, that statement of faith. And when we say we believe in Jesus, right, the grace of our Lord Jesus, we realize that we need a Savior. We're not perfect. He had to die for a reason. It's because of my sin. Right? Sin is serious, but his love is even more serious. And so we receive that grace in Jesus, and we know that is certain, right? Because of the resurrection, because Easter happened. And so I do believe in God the Father, and I do believe in God the Son. Right? And that gives me confidence, not just that I am his son, that my God is with me, but also that my God gives me grace and has forgiven me, that I have a Savior and that I am loved. And I also believe in the Holy Spirit, right? And how the Holy Spirit works through the Holy Christian Church. That's us, the community of believers, right? The Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, how the Spirit has worked through all those that have gone before us, right? They haven't been perfect, but yet the Spirit of God worked through them. The communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, perhaps the greatest miracle of all. Right, when the Spirit enables us to forgive others. Right? I believe in the Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins. Right? Life everlasting and the resurrection of the body. The resurrection of the body and life everlasting. I don't have this in front of me. Right? I have this in my heart and my mind, and I know you do too. Right? But the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Right, and will bring our bodies to life and give us a new body, not just for 40 years, 70 years, 90 years, but everlasting life. Right, this is what those who have gone before us, right, were anchored in, because they are anchored in Jesus. And so they know these truths. They knew these truths. They knew it, and they are focused in on this. The Apostles' Creed enables us to focus in on what exactly is it that we believe. Again, what we believe makes us who we are. And the question for you is not that do you believe in God the Father, because I know you do. You believe in Jesus Christ? I know you do. Right? But do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Right? Andrew Brazier, our youth minister, they weren't able to go to Mexicali, as many of you know, but they still did a Mexicali time with the high school students, right? Hundreds of students, right? So they had teachings every night. And one of the teachings that they talked to the youth about a couple weeks ago was that we don't live just in the truth that Jesus rose again from the dead. We don't stop at Easter. Right? What came next after Easter? Certainly Jesus ascended into heaven, but what came next? Pentecost, the unleashing of the Holy Spirit anew. Right? We can't stop just at Easter. Right? Let's keep moving forward like the first church did, because this is what we believe, the Holy Spirit. Right? When I think about the Holy Spirit, I think about how a lot of us take supplements, vitamins, medicine, right? For Andrew Brazil, right? And a lot of guys who are still lifting a lot of weights, hardcore, right? They take things to help their bodies produce more energy so that they can build more muscle. All right, me, not so much. I do take elderberry syrup. I do take vitamin C, right? I don't know if that's helped me or not. In fact, my brother, who's a healthcare professional, actually told me to start taking zinc. And so I started taking zinc every once in a while, right? It helps with my lungs and everything in case I get any kind of infection in this time. And I bring that up because you and I, right, we have the supplement, right? We have the vitamin that brings life, true life. Life that enables us to be the church. Life that enables us to set an example for the next generation. Life that enables us to release the prisoner to forgive people. Life that enables us to have a new resurrected body someday. And life that doesn't end here, that only begins. Life through the Holy Spirit. I love what Isaiah said, right? As he saw the Lord, right? He knew he was in a relationship. He saw God Almighty, right? And he saw God in such a way to where he knew he needed a Savior. Right? I love that God in that moment showed him he had a Savior, right? I'm seeing God the Father in that text from Isaiah. I'm seeing God the Son. I'm also seeing the Holy Spirit, right? Because then God calls Isaiah to go, to be sent. And what does Isaiah say when God says, whom will go for me? Isaiah says, I will go. You know how he went? By the Holy Spirit. That's how we go. That's how we let His light shine. So my question for you today is, what is your focus? Right? So often, as the gospel shows us, we're like the disciples and our focus is on the storm. We believe in the storm instead of believing in Jesus, the one who is with us, the one who showed us that we have God the Father, we have Jesus, right? God's only Son, and we have the Spirit that Jesus sent, the Holy Spirit. Right? Where's your focus? Where's your focus? Right? Psalm 121, I lift my eyes up to the hills. I'm focused on you, God. Some of you have heard me say this about basketball. What's your focus? Right? If you're shooting a hoop, right, your focus is on the rim, the front of the rim. And you're not looking at the ball. You're not just looking at the basket. You're looking at the front of the rim. Right? As a pitcher in baseball, what's your focus? You're zeroing in on that glove. Right? As a batter, what are you focused in on? Right? You're focusing on that ball. Keep your eye on the ball. Right? As we go through life, those who have gone before us have given us this amazing creed so that we can be focused in who our God is, because what we believe, what our focus is, makes us who we are. It informs our actions, causes us to live. So I do believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I do believe in God, an omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, all-powerful, mighty, a God who's fighting for me. I believe that He is my Father, that He loves me with a lavishing, everlasting love. And I believe He loves you that same way. And I believe that He is our Creator. He's our Creator. You and I have breath because He has a purpose for us. He thought of us before creation, and He created us. Right? We are special. We are fearfully and wonderfully made for a purpose. And I do believe in Jesus, right? That He was born of the Holy Spirit, that He was fully God, that if we wonder what God is like, we got Jesus. And I do believe He was born of the Virgin Mary, right? That He was one of us, that He took on the human condition, fully man, fully God, 100%, 100%, a miracle. But it was God, right? He was hungry, He was tired, He was thirsty, right? He suffered, He knew pain, and He knew temptation. He knew temptation, and He is able to sympathize with us. He never gave in to temptation, but He knew it. He knew it, right? Fully God, fully man. And I do believe that this Jesus is not some made-up character. I believe that in history there is a man named Pontius Pilate, right? And that Jesus suffered under him. History shows us this truth, that there is a man named Jesus that was crucified because he was saying he was God. So either he's a liar, a lunatic, or he's actually who he said that he was. But he was crucified and he died. And I do believe he descended into hell. You know what I think he did there? What the scriptures tell us he did there? He proclaimed victory. Proclaimed victory. Victory over the enemy. And I do believe that he rose again on that third day. that it wasn't some made-up lie, that his body wasn't stolen, that it wasn't a hallucination, that he didn't misplace his body in a different tomb, that he actually rose again from the dead. And I believe that after he rose again from the dead, he has ascended into heaven. You know what he's doing there? He's interceding for us. He's building mansions for us. He's making all things new. And I do believe that you and I are going to meet him one day face to face. I can't wait for that moment. And I do believe that God sent his Spirit, third person of the Trinity, right, to infuse us, to empower us to carry out his mission for us and for his kingdom, his will be done. And that that Spirit that lives in us, he makes us into the church. Into the church united, not by a building, but by a faith, united in love. United in faith, that that Spirit of God makes us who we are and causes the immeasurably more to be done. And I believe that Spirit in God, Spirit in us from God, right, has been in those who've gone before us. Right? Hebrews chapter 11, that great hall of faith, not just there, but many of you, right, are so encouraging in your faith. We have the communion of saints, so many Christians that are alive today that have been alive, that have set the example, who've gone through pandemics. Right? Trinity, right? And 1912, I can't wait to pull out those minutes, but to look how they handled when that Spanish flu came through, right? To learn from them, to learn from them. The communion of saints, the Spirit of God has worked through not just us, but all those who have gone before us. And the Spirit of God, like I said, right, enables us to forgive each other. Somehow, some way, like Jesus forgave us, we are enabled to forgive others by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by my might, not by my power, but by his power. And I do believe that the Spirit of God, right, resurrects our body, gives us a new body. Right, the same resurrected body that Jesus received, that we will receive that. And that same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead will give us eternal life, no more suffering, no more pain, no more sorrow. That's what I believe. And I pray that you believe this too. That we would continue to be anchored in the storm. That our souls will be firm and secure. Right? You and I, we have a Father who loves us. We have a Savior who forgives us. And we have the Spirit of God that lives in us. And so let's take this, and as we receive this, right, may we have a peace that surpasses all human understanding. And may that peace guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so stay focused. And as I encourage you to stay focused, as I'm encouraged to stay focused, let's hear a great hymn of our faith. Let's sing this. My faith looks up to thee. I am focused in on you, God. I lift my eyes up to you.
Such a powerful message. It was so good to hear that word of God preached over us, to get a chance to meditate on it, to think about how God keeps our hearts and minds focused on him through his Spirit and through his word, and how we get a glimpse of all that word in the Creed. And just 12 simple sentences, we can cover the story of God over 1,500 years, and we can cover all his blessings and benefits. And we don't touch on each one specifically, but we do the overview of all of it. And that's who God is. And that's why we confess the creed, to declare the truths of who God is and what he does for us. And so now we take some time to call on our God who hears us, to confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Will be on the screen. So let's take a moment to do that together now. So we confess, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. And the third day he rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. After hearing and speaking these words of faith, the very testimony of the Word of God, we join our hearts and minds calling on the name of God, in whose name we just confessed. We confessed his story, his power, his purpose, all that God does for us, all that he promises and all that he has given to us. And in light of all of that, we turn our hearts toward him. We call on him in prayer. So in that, I do invite you after, as I end each phrase, I'll say, Lord, in your mercy, I invite you to say, hear our prayer. I also invite you, if you haven't already, to keep in prayer during the next week. Don't let prayer be something that only happens on Sunday morning. You know, we can't volunteer, we can't give of our time like we're used to doing, whether it's ushering or even playing music or singing. Some folks get to do it from their homes, but most of us can't. And so one thing everybody can do, no matter what, we can all pray. And so we're all going to pray right now, but I also invite you to pray throughout the week. We've got a prayer sheet with all our particular prayer requests on it that we'll be lifting up to people. You can go to the LCMS website, lcms.org, to get the prayers we pray there. And if you are still having trouble connecting with our particular prayers from Trinity, you can call Corey at our church office number. It'll go to a phone that she can answer and get right back to you to get that. For now, though, let's do those petitions. I'll end with, Lord, in your mercy, I invite you to respond in praise and in faith. Hear our prayer. So let's pray. Lord God, you have heard our plea for mercy and given up your Son to be our Savior. Hear us now as we come to you on behalf of ourselves and all people according to their needs. Our hearts have burned in us, O Lord, as your word has been read and preached. Keep our faith from growing cold, and grant us grace that we may not waver in faith or succumb to temptation. Give to us and to our children receptive hearts, that we may hear and in hearing believe, and in believing be steadfast in faith and hope all our days. Lord, in your mercy, you have cleansed us, O Lord, with your water and the word and baptism, and you have marked us as your own people. Give to us grace that we can live out this faith in holy lives, lifting up your name in word and works for as long as we live. Guide us that we may purify our souls by living in obedience to your word and in brotherly love for one another. Lord, in your mercy. Jesus, bless your church that she may welcome the stranger in Christ's name and manifest the unity of faith and the bonds of love. Bless Matthew, our presiding president of our synod. Bless David, our district president. Bless Craig, our circuit visitor, and our pastors, and all those who work on staff here to make your name known, to make your gospel known. Bless those training for church work. Bless each of us as we live out our baptismal vocation of worship, witness, prayer, and service. Lord, in your mercy, guide our nation, O Lord, that we may enjoy peace and security in the face of threat and danger. Bless Donald Trump, our president, the Congress of the United States, Gretchen Whitmer, our governor, and all state and local officials, that they may fulfill their offices faithfully. Bless the members of the armed forces who protect us and teach the nations, including ours, the way of peace. Lord, in your mercy, deliver us from our afflictions and grant us strength to bear all our burdens, O Lord. Hear us in particular for all those that are on our hearts now and all those we name before you, whether from a list, from our hearts, or from our minds. According to your gracious will, Jesus, heal the sick, relieve those who suffer, comfort the grieving, and give peace to the dying. Lord, in your mercy, stay with us, O Lord, and be our strength in weakness and our hope in time of despair. Your gracious will once kept the saints in faith, even to the point of death. Keep us with them, Jesus, in your faith and fear, that we may be found faithful when Christ comes again in his glory to bring to fulfillment all things once and forevermore. Lord, in your mercy, forgive our sins, strengthen our faith, build up our unity as a congregation, as a synod, and equip us through this time together that we have with you and your Spirit and your Word to love you and to love one another as you have loved us. Lord, in your mercy, accept, O Lord, this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving we bring for all of your goodness and generosity. And with the song of praise, accept our tithes and offerings, that your church, because of you, may have the resources to proclaim your gospel and care for the poor and those in need. Lord, in your mercy, these and whatever things we pray, O Lord, we pray you to grant in the name of and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose death has made full atonement for all our sins, and whose resurrection has granted us the promise of our own joyful resurrection to eternal life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Please join me in praying the Lord's Prayer. The words will also be on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. People of God, know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Jesus has met you here through his word, through his Spirit, with his people gathered together, that you may know and have courage to face whatever's coming ahead and whatever you are in the midst of right now, to know that God is with you. And when God is with you, he brings you power and promise. He brings you forgiveness. And when there's forgiveness, there's also life and salvation. And so may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace so that your hearts will trust in him and so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hang on now as we're heading over to Allison Carr, her house, and she's got a message for kids. And it's a message for kids, but there's always a lesson in there for people of any age. So stay tuned. We're heading over to Allison right now.
Good morning, boys and girls. Happy Sunday. I have a question for you. Today, What's that? You can't see me very well? Okay, give me a second. How about now? Any better? Let me try one more thing. All right, I think I fixed it. Better? Good. Man, I was really out of focus. Have you ever experienced something else being out of focus? Maybe it was a photograph that you saw that was a little blurry. Or maybe you're like me and you need glasses, because without them, it's hard to see anything. When something is in focus, that means that it's clear, that it's easy to see or easy to understand. Now, if something is the focus, that means that it's the center of attention. For example, if it's your birthday, you're the focus. You're the one that everyone is there to celebrate. Now, we all live pretty busy lives. Between work and school, playing with our friends, games, after-school activities, our focus can be all over the place. Now, none of those are bad, but they don't deserve our 100% attention all of the time. There's only one thing that deserves our focus 100% of the time, and that's God. Jesus wants us to be his disciples, and when Jesus is our focus, everything we do is for his glory. But being his disciple also means that we are to share our focus with other people. Now, there's a tool that we have to help us do that, and that's the Apostles' Creed. Now, the Apostles' Creed is a statement that helps us focus and explain exactly what we believe about God and about Jesus. Now, if somebody asked you, hey, what do you believe about Jesus? You probably wouldn't just start reading the Bible to them from the very beginning, because that would take a really long time, because it's a really long book. But that's where a creed comes in, because a creed helps us say a lot with just a few words. It helps us really focus and explain exactly what we believe. So today, to help us focus, we're going to learn the Apostles' Creed, but this time with actions. All right, boys and girls, it's time to stand up, and anyone else in the room can join in learning too. I'm going to say the words and do the actions, and you repeat after me. Are you ready? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. And the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Great job, boys and girls. Way to stay focused. I hope that you'll continue to learn those actions and that they'll be helpful for to you the next time you get to tell somebody about Jesus. Before we end our time together today, why don't we say a prayer? Let's fold our hands, bow our heads, and talk to Jesus. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for loving me and forgiving me and helping me to make you the focus of my life. Bless all of my family and friends and everyone I know, that we continue to look to you. Bless the rest of our day, so that we can join together next week. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, boys and girls, thanks for joining me today, and I'll see you next week. Have a good day.